Well, the Passover season here, I think we would be remiss not to give a Passover sermon. We know that it's only a few weeks now till Passover is here, and we're glad to have the Wilsons back now with us, keeping the Passover in God's country, coming out of the rebel South. And it's very nice to have you here. That's for Sheila's sake, I said rebels. But anyway, we realize that we are to speak in season, and it is a special time, as Mr. Meeker said, in the opening prayer, we have information that the world does not have, that they just don't understand. If you were like me growing up in a Protestant church, we had communion, we called it, whenever we wanted to. It was maybe once a month, maybe once a quarter, maybe once every 2 weeks, and I suppose if the pastor thought we were really bad, maybe once every week. It could be whenever it was decided. And it was based, of course, on that scripture, as oft as you eat and drink, as oft. And that's the one scripture without taking other scriptures into view. There is quite a bit of controversy going around over different types of subjects when it comes to Passover and the holy days in general, as we know. But with the Passover, I thought we would start with a scripture in Luke 22. Luke 22, because it is important to know when the Passover is, when the New Testament Passover is. And we'll dwell on the New Testament Passover, also using Old Testament scriptures. But in Luke 22 and verse 7, we see that the day of unleavened bread came when the Passover must be killed. I'll give you a moment to get there. Luke 22 and verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And you find then that Christ sent Peter and John saying in verse 8, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said, well, behold, when you've entered the city, a man's going to meet you, and he's going to be carrying a pitcher of water. Just follow him, and he's going to lead you to the house where you will enter. And then you're going to say to the master of the house, the teacher, and the master of the house would have known who that would have been, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? So we see that there's a miracle involved here too, just to send someone. In other words, Jesus Christ didn't text somebody ahead of time or email them or give them a call saying, hey, I'm sending my disciples. No, this is the way it was going to be. They were going to meet a guy carrying a pitcher of water, and he was going to lead them to the place where they would prepare the Passover, as you see here in verse 11. And then he will show you a large furnished upper room there, make ready. So with the reading of these scriptures, it brings questions to mind, especially if we are thinking in terms of when is the Passover to be kept. It seems almost like it is the first day of unleavened bread when you read here. Because again, you read, the day of unleavened bread came when the Passover must be killed. So the question comes up, was Passover the same day as the first day of unleavened bread? Was the first day of unleavened bread the same as the Passover? Same question. Was or is the Passover unleavened bread period together only 7 days? In other words, first day is the Passover and then you have 6 days. So that question comes along, and I'll just give you a little bit of information when we come to a scripture here in a few minutes. I will tell you kind of the key here, and my wife can kind of give me a look to remind me later on when I hit Exodus 12 what this is all about when it comes to seemingly say that both are the same, first day of unleavened bread and Passover. But it must be explained. So, I'm sure I have your attention. I hope to have your attention. This is a subject that is quite important because people have kept the Passover all over the place. I don't know if anybody's ever kept it on the 13th, but starting the 14th, and then noon on the 14th, 3 o'clock on the 14th, and then the beginning of the 15th. Passover has been kept on those dates. And besides that, you might have a week earlier or a week later. You just never know. So I suppose the possibility is that God's people or the Church of God in general, you might find in the Church of God in general, you might find 12 different times being kept. And knowing human nature, you might find more than that. So I'm sure I have your attention, and I'm not going to be preaching heresy today. There will be nothing different here, but I hope to explain very clearly as much as possible. And I mentioned to Audrey earlier on, we stayed with her last night, I said, you know, we ministers, if we've been around a long time, and some things may seem real easy to us, we don't want to be teaching calculus to first graders. Because the important thing is that we all understand the simple words that God gives us. That said, God did not put the Bible together in a simple way. He put enough in there to make us question and to give the world a buy when it comes to even obeying the Ten Commandments. Because people can be blinded. He said they would be blinded. So we don't have a chapter on what to do with the Ten Commandments. In the New Covenant. You just don't have that chapter. You have Paul coming along who spoke things hard to be understood because God did not intend for 6,000 years for people to understand clearly. It is called a mystery, which only is open to us with the key of what we call God's Spirit. Without that, we just are not going to understand fully. Maybe a little bit here and there, but we're not going to understand fully. So I hope the explanation today solidifies against heretical doctrine that comes along. Very important subject. Now, I will give you a little bit caution here. I have a handout coming out just a little bit later, but I thought if I give you a handout, I might as well not speak about anything other than the handout. You know how that goes, because everybody's going to be curious. And you're going to think, well, I can do this and I can listen too. Well, we can, but we're not going to get the full impact of just listening. It's bad enough to just sit there and to go over the broken faucet this last week or your car that just blew a tire on the way to services or whatever else comes along. It's hard to really focus. For all of us, it is. So if you scan other scriptures while we're doing this, if you go to other scriptures, because when I mention something, you might say, yes, but I know another scripture over here. It's going to throw you off because I really would like you to hear what I have to say. Men and brethren and women, listen, please, as Paul might say, or Peter, whatever. So we may lose very important scripture proofs on this subject. So let's go to Exodus 12, 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 12, even though we're talking about the New Testament Passover, I'm not going to delve into the Old Testament scriptures. There's enough other scriptures that people bring along with the Old Covenant, or it wasn't even Old Covenant. The Passover was before the Old Covenant was instituted, but before the explanation of when the Passover was kept in the Old Testament. We're sticking with the New Testament Passover, but going to Old Testament scriptures also. So we have then in Exodus chapter 12 and starting out in verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, so they were in the land of Egypt. The new covenant was not established yet. I believe I'm correct when I say in the book of the law you have in civil law, God only talking about my sacrifice, which was the Passover sacrifice, the only sacrifice that is mentioned before you get to the ritual sacrifices that was to remind them of sin. So you had basically two sections of the book of the law. You had the civil law You had the Ten Commandments, of course, given at Mount Sinai, but then you had the civil law, and then you had the ceremonial law. But now here you have, while they are in Egypt, you see it's not part of the Old Covenant, it is part of the Law, Prophets, and Writings. So we're reading in a book of the law here, this month shall be your beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, and on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your account for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish, and this is signifying the coming of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world who did not sin. A male of the first year, was Jesus Christ a female? I think there's an analogy here also, because some say, well, Christ was a woman. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it to the 14th day of the same month. Now why take it on the 10th, keep it to the 14th? I have thought, and there may be a better explanation, but I have thought that Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem a few days before, and it would have been about the 10th. And on the night of the 10th, he would have gone to the garden where he was later taken. On the 11th, he went to the garden where he was later taken. On the 12th, in the evening, he went to the garden. He established a pattern so that he set up his own captures, what he did. Judas Iscariot pretty much knew where he was going to be, and he was correct in telling those who captured him where he was going to be. So you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Now, later on here, and my eyes may not fall on it exactly, but what they were going to do was to, verse 11, eat it in haste. They were actually going to be killing the Passover and eating the Passover. It is the Lord's Passover that they're going to eat. And once they ate the Passover, that was the last Passover ever, because once you eat something, it's destroyed. And the answer is, you have certain things called metonyms in the Bible. So if you take a lamb, the lamb becomes the Passover, you eat the Passover lamb, you eat the Passover. Now we all understand when we eat the Passover, right? That we're not going to be actually eating the Passover day, because the Passover is the 14th. So are you eating the 14th? Now I'm trying to get a point across here that when you come to scriptures in the New Testament, and the first of unleavened bread came where you kept the Passover, that was what was called a metonym. It was a day of unleavened bread. Why? Why was the Passover also called the first of unleavened bread? It's because that's the day that Passover was thrown out of the house. So it wasn't the Passover day, but it was the first of unleavened. Did they have Passover in their home? And the answer is, yes, they did. It was the 14th. It wasn't the 15th yet. Now, when you say you're going to go down to the track and make a bet, what does that mean? That you know that there's going to be a dog race? And the answer is, well, maybe. But you're saying track, aren't you? When you say track, what does that mean? Does that mean you're going down to the railroad track? You just automatically know it's called a metonym. It's just part of a word, and you're just replacing it for something that everybody knows. And they did that. The Apostle Peter did it. The Apostle Paul did it. And I think it's good to take the time to explain, because people lock into the Bible and think, well, the first day of unleavened bread is the the Passover, is the first day of unleavened bread. And that is just not the way it is. So remember that word, metonym, M-E-T-O-N-Y-M, okay? R-S-P-E-C-T. You missed the, right? Anyway, I won't go on with that. That's not how to spell respect, by the way. But metonym, it is how to spell metonym, I hope. M-O-T-Y-N-M. N-Y-M. There we go. So now we have then on the sixth. So now we're going to center on the sixth here. At twilight, you shall kill it at twilight. When is the Passover killed? When you take a look at when people killed the Passover, that is Pharisees, Sadducees, the Jews of old, you can go to quite a few different commentaries and see when it was. It could have been start of the 14th that they killed it. History shows that that was done. It can be 12 noon. It could be 3 o'clock. It could be 6 o'clock, or they count 3 hours before sunset and kill the Passover. Or it could be right at sunset that they killed it. Or it could be shortly after sunset that they killed it. You find that in historical writings. There are several places you can go. So what does it mean here? Well, what we're trying to do right now is explain what twilight is. When you take a look at this word, some people might say, well, that's sunset. That's what that means. And the answer is, well, no, that's not the word. There's another word actually for sunset. And you can say, well, that's evening. And the answer is no. That's not even the word that is used here. It's a different word. So if you go to Genesis 1 and verse 5, and please, if you will, keep your finger in Exodus 12. When we go to Genesis 1, we can go to verse 5 here, and actually more so than verse 5, because the word is used many times. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. Now it's verse 4. God called the light day, in the darkness he called night, so the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, evening is a rev, E-R-E-V or E-R-E-B, it could be, but whatever the case, however they pronounced it, I don't know. But that was the word. And when we read that, what does that mean? It means general darkness. Because we're looking at this, the evening and the morning were the first day. So evening would be the start of darkness that would continue all through the night till you get to the light. Because remember here in verse 4, you have light and darkness. And the period that starts the darkness is called evening, just that one word. And it's a general term. It is no specific time necessarily. In fact, if we didn't have something to go to find out exactly when sunset is, you would kind of guess, or you would look at the sun, and as soon as it touches the horizon, you would say sunset. But if it's a cloudy day, and that's all you had to go by, you would say, not quite sure. And this would be the time of the Neanderthals, when you wouldn't have any watches or anything like that. You know what I mean. But basically, it is a general term. I'm just trying to show you here where in the Bible, there are just general terms. And when you have a period of darkness and then a whole period of light, that covers a 24-hour period of time. Basically, not exactly, basically that darkness period of time covers 12 hours. But it starts getting dark sometime, doesn't it? So it's not specifying here, except it's just saying, look, there's two periods of time. One is darkness and one is lightness, if there is such a word. And those two periods cover the whole day. And it is evening that starts it. Okay, and that's important to keep in mind. The dark part starts the day. Okay. Now, Exodus 12 and verse 18. If you kept your finger there, you're fast and you can get to it. Now there's other questions that come up when you bring up verse 18, and that is beginning of the 14th, end of the 14th. But what we have here, at evening, and this is what we're looking at as far as this one word. This word is not the same as the word in Genesis, because it has a defining article, I guess we would say, in front of it, or maybe it's an adjective, but it's ba, B-A. And it's specifying a time. That's the same word as you would find elsewhere where it would be talking about general darkness, but when you put an article in front of something, or an adjective, it can change the whole meaning. It can. It can be the person is dumb or they're totally dumb. Right? I mean, it changes the whole meaning. Or you can have unique, or you could have very, 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 very unique. And they think it changes the meaning, but it doesn't. It's still just only unique. But the point is, we do put definers in front, and here with this word, it's a definer, and it is ba arev, meaning a specific time. It is sunset. It is sunset is what it is. So you have, and all I'm pointing out here is there is a time called sunset where you have a specific period of time. So we have general periods of time of darkness and specifics where it's, okay, I will meet you at evening. That means anywhere between 7:30 and 6:30 the next day. And it's like, no, I don't mean that. I will meet you at sunset, okay? So arev is general. I will meet you. Now, if you're in stagecoach days, you could say I'll be there sunset with my six gun on. I'll be shooting it out with you, you know. Who knows what time it's going to be. Sunrise is a little bit more specific. But we have those words in the Bible. We do. And it's important for us to know because people lock in on these things and they make major doctrines not knowing what the words are saying. So let's kind of clear this up now as to another word, and that is the word twilight. In Exodus 12 and verse 6, we were there. Twilight is a totally, completely different word. It is not arev. It is not ba-arev. It is ha, and again, I'm not pronouncing this properly, I'm sure, but it's something like ha-arbayim, H-A, and then A-R-B-A-Y-I-M will be the word. That's when the Passover is going to be killed. Ha-arbayim. So, when is that? When is that? God doesn't leave us ignorant. He gives us examples in the Bible of when that period would be. How fast can you kill the Passover? Kill it at twilight. So it's like, man, you've got this, it's the sun is going to be setting, and you, everybody all at once, you know, all over Israel is looking, and they have their knife, you know, at the throat, and it's like, no! Okay, that's specific time. But God didn't make it that specific. He says, look, there is a period of time here where you kill and eat it, okay? It's called twilight. There is a period of time. And it is the time, as we'll see, from the time the sun sets to the time that there would be total darkness. Now that gives you some time. Gives you some time. And again, we're looking at the New Testament here to try to show you when the New Testament, I say, that's a misnomer too, but when the New Covenant Passover would be eaten. So let's go to Exodus 16. Exodus chapter 16. We know the story where the Israelites were complaining again. They were getting tired of manna, and they wanted more. They wanted flesh to eat. Now it brings some questions up. Why weren't they killing their cattle? But for some reason, whatever, they weren't killing and eating their cattle. They hadn't eaten meat, evidently, at this period of time. So they said, we want meat. And so God says, I'm going to send you some quail. Now this tells us when this period of time is where they're going to be eating the quail. So we come to verse 12, Exodus 16 and verse 12. I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, so speak to them saying, at twilight, same word as when the Passover lamb is killed. At twilight, you shall eat meat. At twilight, you shall eat meat. And in the morning, there's another word for that too, but basically that word morning is the start of that daylight time that we read in Genesis, because there's the start of a darkness time and there's the start of a light time, and morning, this word would be when they would start the daylight time again. But here is twilight, you shall eat meat. That word is ha arbayim, and I think there's even another word before it, B-E-Y-N, bein ha arbayim. And then it says, in the morning you shall be filled with bread. You'll get your manna the next morning. So it was, verse 13, that quails came up. Now when did they come up? They came up at 12 noon. Well, now we come back and we say it's ba'arev. That's the word that we're looking at. We know when they came up. Now, arev would be the start of a darkness period based on Genesis 1. Arev. So is the start of the darkness period, just using the general term, arev, at noon? No, it's not. Start of darkness is not at noon. Is the start of darkness at 3? Not in Montana. Not in Florida. Maybe somewhere in Alaska, but not normally. You have to come way down the line until the sun begins to set. So he's telling them when the quail are coming up. And it's ba, it's at sunset. That's the specific time, because if you just have a general time now where you just say at evening, well, that could be past twilight. So you have to have them coming up in a period of time where the sun is just setting and the quail are coming, and they have a twilight period. They have an hour and 20 minutes or so to eat it. And so it is very key to understand some of these words. Unlike the guy who said, I've been a farmer all my life. And I know when evening is. On Tuesday evening when I come home, that's one evening. Wednesday evening I come home, that's another evening. Between the two evenings is between Tuesday night and Wednesday night. It's like, that's not what it means, you know. You have to know a little bit of... The Catholic Church came to the point they didn't want anybody reading anything out of the Bible. We'll teach you, just leave it to us. But, brethren, we can understand. We can. And it is simple when you look at this. It does make sense, doesn't it? When you look at the word for general evening and when it starts, and then a specific time, and then a twilight period. Okay. Now, there are actually two major scriptures that tell us when the new covenant. Just two scriptures. If you can remember those two, we will know when the new covenant Passover was eaten. 1 Corinthians 11:23. It's easy to overlook these, but there's simple explanations for the new. Once you know, it's the 14th, and we're going to have a handout here in a little bit, not quite yet, but 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. I received from the Lord. So the Apostle Paul was instructed by Jesus Christ later on. He was the last one to hear or see Jesus Christ. He says that in the resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. I was the last. So we know that Jesus Christ taught the apostles. Then he was killed. He was crucified. He was resurrected. And for about 40 days, he taught the apostles. And then later on, a couple years later, maybe up to 4 years later, we find the Apostle Paul was called. And then he saw Jesus Christ. He was the last one. And I've often said, if I ever come up and say, Christ talked to me personally, you can say, go to 1 Corinthians 15. Do we rewrite that now? Greg saw and was taught by Jesus Christ personally. Right? No, it doesn't work that way. So I received from the Lord, confirming now the testimony of the apostles too, I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night, you wouldn't even need the word same there, it's thrown in, I don't believe it's even in the Greek, because all you have to have is on the night in which he was betrayed tells you exactly when, doesn't it? So you know when he was betrayed, right? So just taking it and reasoning this out, we know, and I don't think I need to go into a lot of scriptures to tell us that the Passover is prepared, foot washing ceremony is established during supper while they were eating, then the new covenant symbols were introduced. Jesus Christ gave them instruction on that same Passover night. Then they sang a hymn. They went out to the garden, and he was betrayed. He wasn't crucified yet. He wasn't hanging on a stake yet. Throughout the night, he has this quick trial. And then the next morning, he is accused, and he is sent over to Golgotha, where by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he died. Okay? So we're going to come now to John 19. Now remember, it's the previous night when he's betrayed, when the Passover was to be eaten. On the same night, he said, and I didn't read the verse 24, where it says, that's when the Passover was eaten, that's when he gave instruction, and that's when they took the first Passover. Okay, so we go now to John 19 and verse 30. And this is the second scripture. If you can just put in your notes in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24, the scripture John 19, verse 30 and 31. John 19. And this is when, it is interesting because he's telling us when also the Passover is to be taken. As oft as you drink it, why would he go to the trouble telling us exactly when this happened if we can keep the Passover any time? Right? It's just like, well, I don't care if it's a 14th, I don't care if it's a 15th, you know. He goes on to say as oft as you drink it, but he's gone through the specifics of when it happened. Okay. And also we do have specifics, you know, I'll be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth as the only proof that I am the Christ, the only proof. Okay, so John 19 and verse 30. John 19:30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, so he has been nailed to the stake, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, now here's a key. This is the night before. What was this preparation day? And this is why I say just use this scripture to prove that the Passover is not the first day of unleavened bread. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the stake, staros, on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath coming up now we can say, well, oh, see, it was a Sabbath where he was killed. Well, why do they allow him to be hanging on this stake all this time where it's almost sunset, and they say, well, oh, we can't have him hanging there on the Sabbath. He's been there for a few hours, right? So why don't they then crucify him a different way? No, the Sabbath was coming up. Should not remain on the cross, stake, on the Sabbath. Should not remain on the Sabbath. In other words, they've got to get him down from the stake before the Sabbath comes so he's not on the stake on the Sabbath. Very, very clear. Now, some people may turn all that around, but it's like, hey, you know, tomorrow's our anniversary, and so I don't want to be doing this on our anniversary. Because it's what? It's tomorrow. It's the next day where you want to be giving your whole time to the anniversary day. Okay, should not remain on the stake on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. A high day is a holy Sabbath day. Not just a feast day. The Passover is a feast day. It is called a feast day. The feast of Passover in Leviticus 23. These are my feasts, okay? So it is a Passover is a feast day, but it's not a high day. Now, you might think, oh, wait a minute. No, that's not possible. Okay, so let's go to the Feast of Tabernacles. So all of those days are high days? No, just two of the days. So for those people who want to say, if it's called a feast day, it's got to be a high day. It's like, well, we're going to the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's 7 days long, and there's only, well, excuse me, it's 8 day period of time, we call it, and there's only 1 day in the Feast of Tabernacles that is a high day, just one. Okay? How about the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Now, there's only, here we go, there's 2 days there, right? First and last day of Unleavened Bread. Let me make sure this is right so I don't misspeak as I normally do. Okay. So we get the point. Just because we call out something a feast doesn't mean all of them are high days. So it's not a good reasoning for people to say, well, if it says feast day, it's got to be the same. First day of unleavened bread and Passover. So the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. That is for all three, the two criminals, and Jesus Christ, who was looked upon as a criminal. He became a curse for us, meaning he died a criminal death. That's what he did. Then the soldiers came and broke his legs, first and of the other, and was crucified with us. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, because one of the soldiers had pierced his side. You can put the word had pierced, a past participle, with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. That's how he died. But the reason being that they were to die is so that on the high day, the day coming up, you would not have anyone hanging there on the stake. I hope that's clear. But use 1 Corinthians 11:23 and John 19:30-34 as two very important scriptures. That's the New Testament Passover. So the New Testament Passover is when? Okay, I have a couple of guys that have some handouts for you here in the next few minutes, because I wanted to give you where there are many, many scriptural references where it says the Passover is on the 14th. Yeah, just a hand went out to every household. Should be enough. So if you don't have to own a house, you can actually, or if they're, I think we have 40. We should have plenty today. We have somebody out sick that I made more than I did last time. We're not going to go through all these because that's why I have the handout. And I wanted to make it clear because really if you don't detail things out, sometimes you think, well, So what we have in this handout, and I think most of you have it now, is that the Passover is always associated with the 14th day of the first month. And you go down scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, and I might add now, when you go through the Old Testament, you will come across scriptures where they're just generalizing, and it will bring up like, now, when is it? When is it? So, these are just the clear statements as to when the Passover is. Whether it be in Exodus on the 14th day of the month until, keep it until the 14th. The 14th begins at evening. Or the evening. The beginning of Ha'arbeim. Okay. And I just flunked Hebrew, I know. So you have, see how many scriptures you have. Now, actually, the 11th point in Ezekiel would give you a scripture that is like, not quite clear. But always, in studying your Bible, take the clear scriptures first. The way to study the Bible is always take the clear and then go to the unclear. The clear clears up, okay? The unclear. But the one scripture here, Leviticus 23 and verse 5, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Passover. See that second point? Leviticus 23 and verse 5. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight. So now we've already proven when a twilight period is, right? It is right after sunset, right after the quail hit, when you can take and grab them and eat them raw and really get in a lot of trouble and get plagued. Okay? So on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. So 14th. The 14th can't be the 15th and the 15th can't be the 14th. So what Jesus Christ set us an example of doing, no matter what the Pharisees, Sadducees were doing it, because even they were keeping it at different times. So you figure, hey, what do? Well, we just follow the example of Jesus Christ. We know it was going to be the 14th. Because he wouldn't be starting on the 15th with all the scriptures telling us when it is. And he wouldn't be doing it on the 15th when he would die on the 15th, a high day, and the next day will also be the 15th. Now you have two 15ths. I've done that before myself. Some of us, you know, we've lived on Tuesday and the next day was Tuesday also because we just got mixed up. But you see where we're going with this. So the new covenant Passover is on the 14th. Now, on the back side of this, and some of you may have cheated already, and you've just gone on and you got impatient with me, and hey, I want to see what's on the other side, because you saw all of this kind of shadow through. But we have in Discern Magazine a printout that is somewhat like this. This is probably has some detail that the Discern Magazine does not. But this now is quite important. You can study it, but let's go over to Matthew 12 and verse 40, because we have to drum this one in our mind when we think of the Passover season and sequence. Matthew 12 and verse 40. And the number of days that Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth. Verse 38, we'll start there. Some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you that you are the Son of Man, that you are the Christ." We would like to see a sign. Son of Man was equivalent to Christ, okay? That was an equivalency that they said, they established. "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered, "An evil and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." By the way, if you ever read the Fenton translation, I believe Fenton says that the name of the ship where he was picked up was called Whale. Have you ever read the Fenton translation? Now, Fenton was a British Israelite, and he had a lot of things right. Because, you know, he was a businessman, actually, in the 1800s, lived into the early 1900s, but he had this one wrong. The ship was not called Whale. It was a big fish. It really was. So, no sign except the prophet Jonah, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish. so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That is the only sign. So the proof of Messiahship. Why did Jesus Christ not want everybody to know that he was the Christ early in his ministry? Can you imagine? The name Jesus is a common name. I think they have recorded, history has shown, that there are 20 places where you find the name Jesus of just people. And of course, it's a common name down in Mexico today, Jesus. But you know, nobody was called Christ. You did not use that term unless you wanted to die. Because the Christ is the Savior, the coming Savior of the world. So he said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Christ said, well, human beings haven't revealed that to you, Peter, but don't tell any man because I've got to go to Jerusalem and I have to be raised up, speaking of the type of death that he would have, I have to be raised up, meaning crucified, and then he would have to be 3 days, as we say, and three nights in the heart of the earth. That was the only proof that he was the Christ. Why do you think that the Jews wanted someone to guard that tomb? They did not want this to come to pass at all. They said, no, he's not going to get out of that tomb. But the angel comes along, blinds the guards, removes the stone. Christ, okay, teenagers, Christ folds his clothes neatly and then exits the tomb. He did. And I point that out to teenagers at camp. He folded his clothes neatly and then he left. So there's no excuse if Jesus Christ, just being raised from the dead, can do that. And he wants to get out of that tomb as quickly as possible. Just because you have an event to go to with other teenagers doesn't mean you can't fold your clothes. Right? Those little things are in the Bible for a reason. You know, Mr. Meeker has told you many times in sermons in the past, read your Bible. Right? Read it. Read it. Read your Bible. All these little things are inspired by God. So we won't even baptize you anymore unless you fold your clothes. Well, I'm not sure about that. Pulling your leg a little bit there, but these are for our examples. So what we have then, Jesus Christ now says, here I'll tell you that I am the Christ. And now you have something added to this tremendous news that the angel, first of all, yelled out, so to speak, before Jesus Christ was even born, or at the time he was born, behold, I tell you good news. There's a child born in Jerusalem. But it wouldn't be totally known, proven, that that good news was the Christ being born. The promised seed, finally, coming to the fore. So go through this then, and you can see that it is 3 days, and it is three nights in the heart of the earth. And I wouldn't be surprised. It was pretty exact. Pretty exact. I don't think there are too many seconds between, just the way God does some things. God can generalize, God can do some things, you know, within whatever period he wants. He can hold off events, he can slow down things, he can speed up things, whatever he wants to do. But in this case, it was going to be 3 days and three nights. And like the person who wrote me when I was a sophomore in college, and they said, that's Greek terminology for parts of days and parts of nights. Or did he say Hebrew? He may have said Hebrew. So parts of 3 days and parts of three nights, go figure. You don't have all three. You may have parts of 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's parts. Okay. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Let's go back a little bit from that. Okay. But that's how they figure it. So you go back Wednesday evening all the way to Saturday evening, and now you've got the full time. But Friday, if you take a look at what the world is doing, you can't come up with 3 days and three nights or parts thereof. Just not enough time. And that's, I guess, why I said Friday, Saturday, And Sunday even, if you want to include that. So take this, study it, and we're not going to be examining our character based on this, but it is important to know. It is important that the church be unified. So I hope this helps our understanding. It's in as much detail as I could bring you so we clear up matters. We do want to be unified. We don't want to be just divided over numbers and time when you can prove things so specifically and exactly.